on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Well, spoke with Wilson Alexander a little bit earlier. LSU one and done. Now I gotta wait, scoreboard watch.
Is the base a little bit deeper than usual?
Is that what you're paying attention to? Poor Tiger fans are worried about a regional. Tulane did get the job done over the American Athletic Conference Tournament in round number one. Gary Smith's been joining us throughout the season, covers the Wave as well. Maybe can touch on, obviously, a big, I think UNO starts at 2 o'clock. Gary, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Yeah, that was a clutch performance Tulane got yesterday in a game they had to win, coming off a embarrassing sweep at the hands of Cincinnati the week before. The game tomorrow, they get the day off today. The game tomorrow is going to be even more important. I did a little research. In double elimination conference tournament play, Tulane has started 2-0 nine times in their history, and they won seven of those nine times. And so, I mean, if they can win tomorrow and start 2-0 and beat South Florida, history says they're in great position to have a chance to win the tournament. On the flip side, if Tulane loses the second game in a double elimination tournament, they've never won. Not in their history have they ever won a conference tournament when they lost the second game. So no pressure or anything on the team.
That's why I always say, Gary, stats can always be used a certain way. Yeah, the South Florida people are saying, well, you know, if they lose, we can do that. I'd love to tell you how they played South Florida, but that series was postponed thanks to something called COVID. Yeah. But before we get to that, let's just start with the basic, honest thing that really stood out to me. When you're in a tournament situation, that first game so important in so many different areas. 4-1 the win over Houston. But, Gary, you got to get good pitching, right? Landon Marceau went deep for the Tigers. They didn't get the offense. Mm-hmm. You give up one run, four hits. What a great job, by
Trent Johnson. It was a remarkable performance. Yeah. He's not in Tulane's rotation, their starting rotation. He had not started a game since April 3rd. That was his only start in conference play, April 3rd. And the last time we saw him was at Cincinnati. He came in last Thursday with an 8-4 lead and promptly gave up a double off the wall that cut it to 8-6. And then the next pitch was a 3-run home run, which he described as an awful, awful pitch that was saying hit me and that put Tulane behind. That was the only one of those four games that Tulane had a chance to win against Cincinnati. So that's what he was coming off of. And he's opposing Robert Gasser from Houston, who is projected as a second or third round pick in the major league draft this year and is the only bright spot on what has been a horrible Houston team this year. Just an absolutely terrific pitcher with a nasty fastball slider combination.
Wow.
Yeah, on paper, it wasn't a good matchup for Tulane. And then Trent Johnson goes out there and pitches lights out. Now, Houston's an incredibly weak hitting team. While Tulane couldn't get anybody out against Cincinnati, Houston scored a total of 3 runs in 4 games in their final series in the regular season. So, it was a team that Trent Johnson could match up pretty well with. He had pitched 6 innings against Houston in relief earlier this year and not given up a run. But still, on that pressure stage against a pitcher who was pitching lights out like Houston's pitcher was, that was an incredibly impressive performance by Trent Johnson.
It's incredible, too, because you only need to use 2 pitchers if you're 2-1. Mm-hmm. And again, that helps. You mentioned Johnson 6 Ks. Gasser had 10. Mm-hmm. They both just walked one play. You got to stay out of those long innings, don't you? I mean, he did a great job of that. Not walking, not giving the freebies. You said that's been an issue for that staff.
Yeah, and look, this team, for most of the year, their starting pitching was their strength, their weekend starters. It was not at the end of the year, but now they have them all because Johnson is not in their normal rotation. So they're set up better than just about any team left in the tournament. And then the other factors, and again, it doesn't necessarily matter, but every top seed lost in the first round except for Tulane, including East Carolina, which got run ruled by the worst team in the league, Memphis, 11-1, on the other half of the bracket. So, as Travis Jewett said after the game, you couldn't have drawn it up better for the day. That being said, Tulane still has to go out there and win tomorrow. But if Tulane wins tomorrow, that Tulane has a real chance to win this conference tournament.
Do you think that's one of those things, Wilson was saying that, I asked him who's winning the tournament now that LSU was gone, and he said, I can't tell you because some of these teams that are already in, already hosting, they don't really care. They don't really take that tournament sort of as serious. And to the point, I guess, as ECU, they're hosting.
Yeah.
They know they're in, so maybe that's probably the reason.
They'd
rather go home.
Right? ECU has the conference player of the year. His first at bat, he had a home run yesterday to give them a 1-0 lead on Memphis, and then they lost 11-1. Seven innings. I mean, and Memphis
incredible.
Is terrible. Memphis went like 6-26 or something in the league. But that had to be the issue. That East Carolina, they're hosting a regional, and they just came in. They must have been flat as a pancake in that game. But hey, if Tulane makes the championship game, which is of course is a one game deal on Sunday, they would much prefer to not be. They'd prefer to face anybody but East Carolina. And hey, the other thing is Cincinnati, which clobbered Tulane last weekend. They gave up 9 runs in the 8th inning to UCF and lost 14-10. So they're in the loser bracket. They're playing East Carolina right now. To find out who goes home. Those are the two teams that Tulane doesn't want to face in the championship game. And right now, there's a decent chance that Tulane wouldn't face them if Tulane gets that far.
Things may be falling in place. Speaking with Gary Smith, covers the Wave and other teams here locally for the Advocate Picayune. Gary, so who's pitching? I mean, is it Olthoff? I mean, exactly. I mean,
no.
Because you're in a massive driver's seat,
yeah,
right, if you win tomorrow.
Travis Jewett would not commit yesterday, but he's leaning towards pitching Jack Aldridge because, quite simply, he's been their best pitcher over the last month of the year. He was the one when he left the Cincinnati game. He was up 6-2 on Thursday last week, and Olthoff has been touched up pretty good in the last month. So I have a feeling. I don't think he's going to change his mind. I think he's going to go with Jack Aldridge, and it's a huge game because South Florida is pitching a guy who's only 5-7 for the year. But he's won his last 3 starts and given up a combined 2 earned runs in those 3 starts. So it's not an easy task. And unlike Houston, South Florida, not a great hitting team, but they have a pulse hitting the ball, which Houston simply doesn't. So Tulane's going to need a similar performance from Aldridge probably that they got from Trent Johnson to give themselves a good chance to advance in that game. And we'll see. But then what a position they're in. If they win that game, then they still have Braden Olthoff, the preseason conference pitcher of the year, fresh on a whole week's rest and available for either the next game or maybe they'd even gamble and wait to pitch him in a championship game.
That's
either way,
say, yeah.
In fact, that's what I would do, but I'm not the coach if they get in that situation. So if they win tomorrow, they're in incredibly good shape.
Which is nuts to think that somebody mm-hmm. like that wouldn't see any innings
yeah.
before that. That's why I was
mm-hmm.
wondering, do you throw him
yeah.
an inning or two tomorrow just to kind of get loose, and get ready to go?
He's not that type of pitcher. He's an incredibly meticulous individual. He's prepared. I mean, he pitched last Thursday. So Thursday would be a normal week's rest, but normally he pitches on Friday. I think he could, he had a tired arm earlier in the year. He'd be fine being held out at this point. In fact, one of his best performances was the week after he didn't pitch. He came back on 2 weeks rest and pitched a gem of a game. He'll be ready whenever. He'd be ready if they pitch him tomorrow. He'd be ready whenever, but I don't think it'll hurt him not getting in there at all. He's ready. And I just think it's a matter of right now they think Aldridge is their best option in a must-win game tomorrow.
So tomorrow, Memphis UCF start things off at 3:00. When that game concludes, 47 minutes later, it will be USF and Tulane. Got to get your thoughts on the Southland, man. What happened? Mm-hmm. You had UNO and SLU kind of battling for the conference title.
Yeah.
Neither wind up winning. The Privateers do go into the conference tournament, though, as the 2 seed. What do you make of the Southland, man, as the action has started today? Corpus Christi beating Sam Houston 4-3 today.
It's funny that total coincidence, but one half of the bracket is 4 Texas teams and the other half of the bracket is all Louisiana teams. UNO and Southeastern, if momentum is a factor, they're in trouble because they both really did not, they played their worst baseball of the year, both teams, in the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, they're still the top 2 seeds in their half of the bracket, and this tournament's in Louisiana. It's on Southeastern's home field. I give both of those teams a reasonable chance to come out of it. UNO's task is they got unlucky. They're the number 2 seed. They're playing the number 7 seed in McNeese. They're also facing the conference pitcher of the year this evening. So UNO's pitching has not been UNO's strength this year. I think their ERAs are up above 5.5. They're a team that mashes the ball. It's kind of similar to the Tulane situation. If UNO can get past that pitcher, and win that first game, I like their chances going forward. And Southeastern, I don't know what their problem is, because they've got two pitchers on the all-conference first team. They had a preseason pitcher of the year that's in their rotation, and they just didn't play well. But they're capable. They've got really good starting pitching, and it's just a matter of their bullpen and their hitting has just really fallen apart at the end of the year. But talent-wise, I think they're the best team in the league, and right, playing on their home field, they got to like their chances.
Yeah, it could be interesting. I mean, look, you win the tournament, you're in a mm-hmm. regional, and that obviously yeah. is the only way it happens right now. And you kind of thought that, too. They weren't going to be a two-win team. So, look, mm-hmm. the chances are still there.
Absolutely. And in UNO's case, by the way, they had not finished. This was a landmine for them, because they had not, since 2008, they had not finished higher than, I think, seventh in a league. So what a heck of a job by Blake Dean this year, getting a team that on paper really isn't any better than his teams from the last few years, mm-hmm. and even on numbers isn't really any better. But they finished second, and that's a huge step forward in a program that obviously went through the ringer 8 years ago when they tried to drop down a lower level and then changed their mind and lost their basic entire team and had to start over.
Definitely follow Gary. He'll be tweeting throughout the game here as well tomorrow. So, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7-ish. It'll be in the evening. You never know how long that game's going to be.
I don't even pretend to try to tell people what time college baseball games are going to start unless it's the first game of the day. I mean, it's just like yesterday, the first game, Tulane was the third game. The first game went 4 hours. So then I'm sitting there thinking, when is Tulane going to start? The second game was East Carolina Memphis, and I'm thinking that's going 4 hours, except then it ended after 7 innings because of the run rule. Right. And so it turned out to be less than a 3-hour game. But yeah, it's brutal when you're not the first game in the day trying to figure out what the heck time that thing's going to start.
It is fun. I like tournament style, mm-hmm. though, with so much on the yep. line, because now, look, it's your chance. You win games, you get hot, you catch teams at the right time, you're in. And yep. Let's see what happens. At G-U-E-R Smith is the way to follow Gary over on Twitter. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back more on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
So come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash magic.
Where winners play every night and day.
Cash magic.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma, Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP. Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Yes. The Saints don't win this year. Don't worry. Salary cap's going up next year. That means he can go get better plays. Anyway, we do have, there's owners meetings today.
Yes, correct.
And they've been chatting about it. So Jordan has the very latest from our news desk.
Yeah.
So that sounds even more professional when I just say that.
I am behind a desk.
No, it's the same spot you've been sitting.
Yes, exactly. I'm not behind any other desk. It sounds like I'm somewhere else that's of high importance.
I was trying to get ready. Lots of news happening in and around the NFL. Owners meetings, players might be getting more money, rules being amended. To the news desk we go. Jordan with the latest.
Yeah, Tom Pelissero over on Twitter. NFL owners have approved a change to the low block rule. So I'm sure a lot of you NFL fans out there know of this rule. It's, you know, during kickoffs, you cannot, you know, block another player below the belt line. And then on a change of possession, you cannot also block below the belt line. That looks like that will be changing. Another rule that is being changed, the NFL owners just approved a 90-man roster to start training camp this year with cuts to 85 on August 17th, 80 on August 24th, and 53 on August 31st.
And Tom adds, that's the first time it's happened in recent memory. That's 12 days before the start
Correct.
Of week one. It's not going to happen on Labor Day. Normally, you know, Saturday is that last day, and then the season starts.
Yeah, because usually we're going into the last show of the week, and we're like, well, who's going to?
And he says season starts, meaning the season starts on Thursday with the Bucks game, right, and Cowboys. So Tuesday for the Saints season opener, which would be Sunday, that's a lot different.
Correct.
So a couple extra days. So basically after that last preseason game, got to make those cuts.
And then one more bit of news. You kind of touched on it. Dan Graziano kind of puts in perspective. Per source, the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to a salary cap ceiling of $208.2 million for the 2022 season. If it gets there, that would be a 14% increase over the 2021 cap of $182.5 million. So
the low block thing is going to be very interesting. You essentially on change of possession is their main thing that they were trying to attack here. So by players of the kicking team, after a free kick, safety kick, fair catch kick, punt, field goal attempt, or try kick. Can't low block by players of the receiving team during a down in which there is a free kick, safety kick, all the different kicks.
I wonder how that's going to hurt the Saints this year.
But I think a lot of that is you got people coming in full speed, you're taking out knees, behind, you know, you're not seeing your eyes. I think that's what it is. Like, that's an MCL, SCL ready to happen. Medial lateral collateral on the side
or
the
you
inside
hit
of your knee.
Well, that's what
I think I said. Like, I'm looking at the TV right now above your left shoulder, right, near the ball, and I'm tracking it to the catcher, and I'm running down the field, and then you come and side-swipe my legs. There's no chance for me to really...
I don't know how you would tackle then, because...
I mean, how you would tackle. It's a block. It's a block. They're banning a block, a certain type of block.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking differently.
And how to block, if you're asking, well, then what do I do then? You get in front of them.
So now we're doing the whole flag football where... You have to stand up.
Yes, exactly. Hands behind you, but now you just move my mic too. Yes, but yes, hand behind the back.
Is that what we're doing?
That's it. That's exactly how it works.
Fun. That's football.
Well, you're going to see a lot more hits, though, because it's going to be harder to get in front of people.
Oh, so now we're putting safety in one place and then taking safety away from another.
See, that's the NFL. But, and then
we're going to tell you, this is the positive.
What did you just do with your hand, by the way?
Moved it over.
Yeah, yeah. Do that motion.
Oh, fair catch.
Fair catch, Jordan. You just increased fair catches.
Gosh.
That's exactly what you just did.
We made the game. We made kickoffs and punt returns.
That makes it safer, Jordan. If I fair catch it, then there's no heading. There's no tackling.
I know what this is all about.
There's no physical contact.
They saw what Deontay Harris could do, and the NFL and
wow
and you know
where did that come from? There were no illegal blocks by Deontay Harris.
What I'm saying is they want Deontay Harris to fair catch it more because Commissioner or Comrade Goodell doesn't like the Saints. So in order for Deontay Harris not to run the ball back more, he's going to make Deontay Harris fair catch the ball more.
How did you?
I mean,
take,
it was a hot take, but
that was a
cold.
Where is this coming from? Take
that was. I don't know. It was probably a little bit of pent up anger.
Yeah, I don't really know where that came from. I mean, this is just a change on the illegal block, and you went into Comrade Goodell.
Yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but
yeah, we're
just
it's a block, man. It's about blocking.
It is a block. But if we're playing this
not
whole
like
flag,
they did the dreaded
if we're playing the,
seven playoff if teams and only one bye, heaven forbid. We're still not over that.
Now all of a sudden now these guys that are, you know, blocking on punt returns, they're putting their hands behind their back acting like they're playing flag football trying to protect
come
the quarterback.
Man. No one is
have you seen that? Have you seen people block in flag football? It's laughable. It's like you have nothing, you have nowhere else on the team to be because you're useless, so you just have to put your hands behind your back because you're not good enough to do anything else.
First Comrade takes away your second bye, now there's only one bye week, one bye team. Seven playoff, I mean, what's next, Jordan? What's next, huh? Now you can't block below, what is next from Comrade Goodell? Taking all the fun out of for you.
I can barely tackle as it is. Yeah. Let's just get rid of touchdowns.
Here we go.
Let's make it all about field
goals. Now, that is a hot take. Let's just make it about field goals, huh?
Let's turn it into soccer, but 3 points each score.
Wow. Let's add a draw.
They already have draws.
I don't think they do that anymore, do they? They have ties.
They have ties. But, I mean, it's a lot harder. But, you know, instead of going, you know, if it's tied at the end of four, just it's a tie.
There we go. Your brain is working overtime now.
Screw it.
Just throw a wrench in the game. Why wouldn't you throw a wrench in a game by making it more offensive? You just went more defense. You made it boring. Why don't you just say a touchdown's now 10 points?
Well, you know what? Let's just take out,
how about if you
let's
throw
take
a,
out the defense
how about,
altogether.
How about this? If you throw a pass over 20 yards as a touchdown, it counts double.
There you go.
Encourage the bomb.
Let's take out the defense altogether. Whoever can make it 100 yards down the field the
just
quickest,
done, huh?
They score 7 points.
Wow, that's incredible. So now we're just... Who cares about defense now, huh?
Safety.
That's true. No offensive player can get hurt if there's
none.
Actually there nobody to defend them. Huh?
Joke. Let's just put flags on the guys now. Come on.
All they did was
you know what? Actually, you could hurt yourself grabbing for a flag. You might break a finger.
All they did was literally just, well, I mean, the way the players are talking about that, apparently, Marcus Spears, did you get him from today?
I haven't seen
look,
a Marcus
look,
Spears.
See if there's a Marcus sound. Spears bite, because this morning he tried to explain to me that this is good for the players to be training outside the facility, even though it's down the street at Yankees facility, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers players are, because of the monotony of having to always go into that, you know. I'd like to, you know what? I agree. I'm tired of coming into a studio. I think we should do the show from the beach.
Yeah.
I agree 100% with Marcus Spears.
Who cares how much it costs?
I'm sure that is a normal thing for people to not want to have to go do their day-to-day 9-to-5 in the same place where they're making millions of dollars. So, you know what? I'm bored about
this.
This
is getting boring. Yeah. Mind you, all these facilities are state-of-the-art.
No, they're dumps. You know? Actually, there is one good point that they brought up this morning. And Bruce Arians actually played the bite from. And what Bruce Arians said was, for the most part, this OTA was essentially for the younger guys and that the veterans would be doing a lot of standing around. And Spears and others on the panel said, look, this way, Jeff Saturday from the Colts was saying that. He said, Gronk, because, you know, of course, there is Instagram pictures, Jordan, of, you know, Tom, Gronk, all of them getting their work in. Brady looking, I mean, he's got the jaws chiseled. He's about to throw the football, you know. Gorgeous stills of the South Florida sun glistening over there. You know,
well, wait, it was like a year ago today, like almost to the day where it was.
But that's the point that they were saying is that they can actually go out there for 45 minutes, get legit work in. Here we go. Not worry about injury.
Might get sunburned.
Well, apparently, yeah, it is very true.
So you might want to watch out. Want to get the right sunscreen.
But apparently you can't get injured working on your own, but you can only get injured in team activities. That's what I'm led to believe.
Yeah.
You don't turn your ankle at all or step wrongly or, you know, pop anything working out at somebody else's facility. It only happens at your team facility.
And it's not like, you know, these facilities don't have any medical staff or anybody to, you know, to diagnose them when something goes wrong. No.
But it leads to something that we can touch on at the start of next hour. Are we seeing more player empowerment in the NFL, and it's here to stay, right?
Definitely a valid question.
This is what this is. I'm having fun with it, but this is what this is. You can try to tell me they can get hurt there, or, you know, I'm tired of coming into the same. Stop it. This is about more power. They gave him 17 games. They didn't get a chance to. He didn't give him another bye week. They didn't give him any more money. So you know what? I'm going to train wherever I want. It's voluntary. And we negotiated in the CBA. You can't do nothing about
it. And now all the, you know, players and, you know, staff, I mean, Bruce Arians saying, it's always been voluntary.
Bruce Arians was begging his team to show up to their facility if they need to, like, work out here. Coaches won't even be here. He would rather them do it in their facility.
No, man.
Sports Hangover continues next.